We're thinking of Thanksgiving, and we're reading in Luke's Gospel this wonderful little story about these 10 leprosy sufferers who came to Jesus. The leprosy mission reminds us that we really should not be calling people lepers these days. They are leprosy sufferers. And so we read this story from Luke 17, and it's verse 11 through to verse 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." All through the Bible, we have verses that encourage us to be thankful. Right from the beginning, through the Psalms particularly, into the epistles. There are verses that encourage us to be thankful. One of them, of course, we find in Ephesians chapter 5. It's easy to remember. Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians 5. Ephesians 5:20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Close. "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." These are the verses that caused me to put the title on: Thanksgiving, a Most Difficult Exercise. Everything. Everything. And then 1 Thessalonians repeats the dose. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ." That rubs it in a bit further. All circumstances. Small word, big task. Big ask, rather. "For this is God's will for you in Christ." We all want to follow God's will. We all want to do what God wants us to do. And so we're encouraged to give thanks in all circumstances. That's tough. That's difficult. Continue in Thessalonians, you've got that sort of rat-a-tat-tat of be joyful, be prayerful, continue in prayer. Continue joy, continue prayer, continue thanks. Constant joy, constant prayer, constant thanks. I can't do that. Can you? This is God's will for you. I thought when I was preparing this, I thought, well, I may have to get rid of my grumpy t-shirt. When I wear this to home group, they know the sort of week I've had. It'd suit you, Owen, this would. It'd be really up your street, this. This is a grumpy zone. And then I thought to myself, no, I don't need to get rid of my grumpy t-shirt because I cannot do this. Sometimes I am grumpy. Sometimes I can't be fully thankful. Constantly praying, always joyful. I'm not constant. I'm not consistent. Are you? No, of course you're not. Many churches help us through the year have Thanksgiving occasions. Some churches have thank offering weekends, when we have a weekend where we come together and we give gifts as a thank offering to God, and the gift is distributed to various charities and various places. Some churches have harvest thanksgivings. When we were in the country, we used to have, the church was just filled with, anybody with hay fever couldn't come to church that weekend. There were wheat and there was barley and there were oats and there were goods and all over the place. You could break your neck over an apple that rolled off the windowsill into the aisle. It was fantastic. Thanksgiving. to remind us. And there in the Bible also we have the ordinances of the church that remind us of thanksgiving. Believer's baptism is a means of thanksgiving. And the Eucharist is thanksgiving. Those are the two ordinances that we have in the free church. Believer's baptism, when someone comes to know Jesus as their Saviour, they want to express their joy and their thanksgiving to God, and they do it by going down in the waters and baptism, showing publicly that they've died in Christ and they rise again to a new life. The root of the word is grace. Thanksgiving, grace. That's worked out practically as well as cerebrally. That's demonstrated in practice, pragmatic as well as prayerful. We feel it, we think it, we say it, we do it. That's thanksgiving in the Bible. And that's what happened to this guy in this story. And so there are three things we're going to learn from the story. These three things we'll leave up all the time from the story. Maybe you can think of more as you read through this story. But these came to me as I thought about this story. If thanks is not given immediately, it's rarely given at all. Because we forget. That's why we've got this. To remember. Because we forget. He went out of his way, this one man, out of the ten that were cleansed. He went out of his way to come back and say thank you. And that's the key, isn't it? It says here in verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. I don't know about you, I don't like retracing my steps. We get to the stage now where we get sort of a mile up the road and we suddenly realise we've left what we should have been taking down in the house. So we turn around at the garage and we come back down the hill and we go to the house. And I'm always grumpy. Because I don't like retracing my steps. And when you get lost, I get grumpy because we should have gone that way. So we have a few miles we've got to go back and then we've got to go the other way. And I don't like retracing my steps. I don't like going back. This man was willing to go back. To go the second mile and even the third mile back. To say thank you. Notice the two aspects of thanksgiving in this man. He praised God with a loud voice, verse 15. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Two aspects there. A thanksgiving that we need to exercise as well. When we're thankful, we praise God with a loud voice. He went back, he did something. Notice when I say that we feel thanks, we think thanks, we speak thanks and we do thanks, it may not necessarily be in that order. He did something, he went back. He felt, he thought, he did. He spoke. He praised God in a loud voice. His mind and his heart feelings bubbled over and he wanted to praise God in a loud voice. And he thanked Jesus and he threw himself at Jesus' feet. Thanksgiving is difficult because it's so quite complex in many ways. It means we've got to go out of our way to do it properly. You know, if you feel low, I would suggest to you, you get down on your knees and spend half an hour thanking God and praising God for all the things that he is to you and for what he's given you and what he's done for you. Don't ask for anything, just thank him. You'll get up a different person. If thanks is not given immediately, it's rarely given at all. He went back, he wanted to do it. This Samaritan was an unlikely source for such behaviour. At the end of verse 16, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus even had the audacity to call him this foreigner in verse 18. Were there not others cleansed except this foreigner has come back? Now we know that the Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans, or they didn't want to. And it's interesting that Jesus here, the journey he was taking, if you remember, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So if the Jews wanted to travel from Galilee down to Judea, they very often used to cross the Jordan, go down and then cross the Jordan so that they didn't have to go through Samaria. Jesus was on the border. And leprosy obviously crossed all barriers and borders. Because this man was a Samaritan. Therefore, we can probably safely assume the others were of Jewish descent. Or they could have been from other places too. Or there might have been the other odd Samaritan among them. But it crossed borders. Leprosy crossed these barriers that people put up. They were outcasts of society. Clean people were supposed to keep at least 50 yards upwind as a rule of thumb. That's why I think in his story it says they came to Jesus and they called out to him in a loud voice because they knew they weren't supposed to be within 50 yards of him. Some of us oldies will remember the film The Robe. It still comes out quite often at Easter time. And it was Charlton Heston in his younger days. He was a very famous actor for those who were younger. And Charlton Heston played Judah in the film. And his mother and sister contracted leprosy. And they went to live in this leprosy commune in the caves. And it was down in this valley where there were caves. And they lived in the caves. And Judah's other sister used to bring food and leave it up on the hillside. And when she had gone, then they could come out of the caves and go up and get the food and take it back down again. Praise the Lord, it's a wonderful film because when Jesus died on the cross, they got healed. And so they were back with the family. But that was what had to happen. And so these people were outcasts. And this man, it was unlikely for a Samaritan to behave like this. I suppose we've got echoes of the Good Samaritan here. The Good Samaritan who came along and he was thankful that he hadn't been beaten up on the road, therefore he helped the man who had. Thankful for his deliverance, he helped. You know, sometimes people who are not Christians, they show us up in the thanks department. Over the years, as I've had contact with other folk who are not Christians, they may have a sort of Christian ethic, but they've been very much more thankful than some people within the churches. And positions of power and privilege sometimes blunt the senses to being thankful. Oh yes, this man probably would go and fulfill the law and show himself to the priest. I couldn't find out whether Samaritans had to do that. But if he was with a group of Jews, he probably would have to go and show himself to the priest just to fulfill all righteousness, I suppose, and to make sure that he was acceptable into the Jewish society as well as his own society. He would go and do that afterwards, but he was more concerned with relationship than with fulfilling the law. And I struggle sometimes with this, to be thankful in everything, to behave in this way that is thankful in all circumstances. I've been in situations where sometimes I've gone through difficult times and I've looked back after God has delivered us through them. We can look back and be thankful to God that he's brought us through them and that those are experiences that we can now use in ministry. But at the time, boy, it's tough to be thankful. It's tough. It's hard. And I think there are times when we probably weren't. How can Christians in Iraq and Syria who've been banished from their villages, driven from their homes, had members of the family killed, now are refugees living in tents, how can they be thankful in every situation? How can people who have gone through difficult times of illness and unemployment and family breakup, how can they can be thankful in every situation? But you see, the problem is if we're a Christian, this is the will of God for you. It's tough and it's difficult. It's not easy. It's unlikely behavior, but it's necessary behavior, and it's commanded behavior. And then the third thing moves on to say thanksgiving should always be expressed in obedience. He came back, and then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." I thought about this and I thought, well, this is interesting. I've got a feeling that the other nine were healed because of the compassion of Jesus. This man received complete healing of body, soul, mind, and spirit because he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. Some commentators who write on this story said, yeah, he received salvation. And where it says, your faith has made you well, some versions say, your faith has saved you. That can be a translation. He had come to know who Jesus was. He had come to trust him. He had come to faith in him. Because he went back to say thank you. And he obeyed Jesus and he rose and he went. Your faith has made you well. Did he follow Jesus? I bet he did. I bet he followed Jesus. I bet he continued in thanksgiving. Maybe he followed him around the countryside, listening to him more and more. I don't know. We're not told. But our offerings in these offering bags, our service in the life of the church, must be an expression of our thanksgiving. Our tithes and our offerings, do you tithe? Do you love him? Because if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And this is the will of God for you. Have you been baptized as a believer? Peter's sorting out some baptismal service for next month. Do you need to consider that? Because all through the scripture, that's what the gospel is all about. It's you believe, and you're baptized, and you're added to the church. The basic command of Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 28, the commission, the great commission that Jesus gave his disciples. What did he say to them? The 11 disciples went to Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had told them. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them, he said, "All authority in heaven is given to me now. And on earth. Therefore go and what? Make disciples." Not converts, disciples, followers. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the second thing. And teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Teach them. Bring them along in their faith, their belief. That's why we run an Alpha course. To bring people to a point where they believe in Jesus and receive him into their lives and have their sins forgiven because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Whether you like it or not, whether you like anything else or not, the Bible is exclusive and says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then you're thankful to him as you come and you go through the waters of baptism under here, and then you come to the table and you give thanks through the Eucharist because you then belong to the family. That's terrific, isn't it? That's what the scripture says. That's where we are and where we believe. Can you just go back to 3 points for us, Paul? If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, thanksgiving is not an optional extra. It's part of obedience. It's expressing thanks in baptism, in Eucharist, in prayerful giving, in joyful service. They're not optional extras. We talked about these bulrushes earlier on. They are most interesting plants. Pypha gracilis, if you're interested. That's what they are. And they are plants which grow in water. If you've got a pond and you've planted bulrushes one year, you'll have twice or three times as many the next year, and six times and seven and ten times as many the following year, and then they'll fill the whole pond. Do you know why? Because these are called, actually, officially called catkins, I'm told. But don't worry about that. They start to go grey, like that one is going, and then what happens, they then open up. I'm not going to open it up because I feel for the church cleaners. Because what would happen if I cut this and opened it up? Inside each of these, there are some downy seeds that would just float up. All you'd have to do is go, and they would float off all over the place. And they would spread, and they would go down into the water, and they would produce more bulrushes. If anybody's interested, I do. We can get a knife from the kitchen and afterwards we can do an exercise on here, but I don't want to do it now because it'll go everywhere. But that's what happens. And you know, I feel as Christians, that's what happens when we exercise this wonderful practical thing of thanksgiving. Things burst open. When we feel it and we think about it, we meditate upon it. Oh, look at these little bugs. They've come out of the... I've got bugs crawling over me notes. And when we think about it, we then put it into practice. We speak it out and the seeds disseminate all over the place and people are thankful. It's like when you're driving down the road and you see somebody in a side road and very graciously let them into the traffic. What do? A bit further down the road, they let somebody else into the traffic. You notice? Well, it happens. Thanksgiving is the most difficult exercise. It's not easy, but it's necessary. And it's rewarding. How can you express your thanksgiving to God? Feel it in the heart. Think it in the mind. Say it with your lips. And do it in your life.